Scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and we'll start reading from verse 16 until the end of the chapter. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to this city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment amongst them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So far the reading of God's word.
Robert Coleman in his book written in blood. It's a very touching little story. It's about a little boy, children, who had a sister who had the same sickness that he had 2 years before. The doctor came to talk to the little boy and he said to him, "Your sister has the same sickness that you had 2 years ago. There's only one hope for her. That if you would be willing to give your blood for your sister, and she will live, hopefully." So the doctor looks at the little boy and he says, "Are you willing to give your blood for your little sister?" And Johnny was his name, I guess, looked at the doctor and he looked very serious and his little lip began to tremble a little bit. But then he started to smile. He says, "Yeah, for my sister, I will." And so an hour or two later, they are wheeled into the hospital room and Johnny and his sister look at each other and he smiles at her. He loves her. And so the nurse sticks the big needle in his arm. Johnny gets a little pale and a little bit more quiet. So as he sees the blood dripping out of that into the bag that's hanging on the bottom of his bed, he's real quiet. And after it's nearly finished and the nurses come to him, he looks at the doctor and he says, "Doctor, when am I going to die?" See, and then the doctor understood. Now he understood why Jonathan hesitated first and why his lips quivered. Because he really thought that the doctor asked, "Would you be willing to die for your little sister?" And Johnny, in that small moment, made a great decision. Then the doctor explained, "No, you don't have to die, Johnny. You only need a little bit of your blood." Now this is what Good Friday is all about, children. This is how the story of Good Friday. However, the story of Good Friday is, of course, far more serious. Because we have a condition that's far worse than Johnny's little sister. Besides, our condition is not just a physical body issue. It's also part of our guilt. We brought it upon ourselves. We made ourselves a sinner. And none of us can help us. None of us can help each other. None of us can give their blood for someone else. But see, that's not the story of Good Friday. That's what God did. That's what God did. And He gave His only begotten Son to die. Isn't that just a beautiful story? It's a story about love, isn't it? It's a story about God willing to love at such an expense that He spared nothing, absolutely nothing, in order to love back sinful people and save them from a righteous and everlasting judgment. Now, this morning, I'd like to draw your thoughts to the one word Jesus spoke, in the Greek at least, or in the Aramaic, on the cross right before He died. John 19, verse 30. We read there, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, the sour wine, He said, 'It is finished.'" Now we know from Matthew and from Luke that Jesus spoke these last words with a big shout. So no doubt also, as though John didn't say it, we can assume that from the cross sounds this very
large shout of victory.
And it's only one word in the Greek.
Finished!
That's what she said. Finished. Done. I want to just take your thoughts this morning to the glad tidings in this victorious cry of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he finish? And why did he say this? Was it just for himself? Was he so glad to say, finished, all done, like we do when we have a big chore to do and we sweep the whole garrets, or we have to rake the whole lawn, or do all kinds of things, and finally we're all done. Hey, I'm done. Is that why he said it? Well, let's think about that. The glad tidings of Jesus finished. What did he finish, and why did he say that in our ears? And I hope this morning we may have a fresh, deep appreciation for the great an awesome God we have. It's all about God this morning. It's all about us worshiping God this morning. Finished. Jesus finished something that started a long time ago. Well, maybe you could picture this word finished as what you call here in Kiwi land a full stop. Now, we Americans or so, we call it a period. But you guys call it a full stop. Yes? Imagine this real long line and real long sentence. And at the end, dot. Finished. That's what he said. And so let's go trace back this line for a moment. Let's go back from finished the other way. And then I come to Jerusalem. And I come to Solomon's temple built. And then, well, there's David becoming a king. I'm going to make a big jump. There's Moses, the mountain. And a bigger jump back. Oh, there's the flood. Let me take a big jump back. Ooh, the creation. That must be the end of the line. Oh, no, that's not the end of the line. The line goes on. And now we're going to go beyond creation. There's nothing there. There's no stars, no moon, nothing. But there's something there. There's God. In the beginning, it says, God is there. So now we're going to take a little leap into the mind of God. Because that's all we can do. In the mind, God's thinking. That's where this line began that Jesus here said, finished about. Began all the way as God has been thinking. And together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have been thinking in that mind of God together. Have they been speaking about, let's create a world. Let's make a marvelous display of the power of our glory. Let's make a whole big universe with stars around it. And let's make in the middle or somewhere out there in that universe a little earth. And let's make that beautiful with birds and flowers and plants and mountains and clouds and let's then finally also make together people that look like us, a little bit like us. So God decided that. To make this place that we call Earth with all the things around it. See, that's why this line that here ends on the cross with the finish began all the way there. And then in that mind of God congregation, also knew that those people on that earth that he made were not going to behave very well. They were not going to behave very nicely. He knew that. He even willed it in his wisdom. He knew that. So nothing is no surprise for God, you know. No surprises for him. In his big mind, he knew. These people, they're going to hate me. They're going to try to take me off the throne. They're going to want to be like me. And so they're going to do the unthinkable thing of rebellion. And as I thought that out, the Father says, but I have such a great love that I want to redeem that world that those people have mucked up. I have so great love that I am going to take of these people and I'm going to remake them. And son, I have something to say to you, son. The only way we can do that is if you're going to go down to that earth and I'll make you a human body like them. You're going to have to live there. And you're going to have to die there. Are you willing to do that? See, that's where this line began, right? Finished. And then the son said something. Yes. We know he said it because it says in Psalm 40. I delight to do that, Father. I love to do your will. Astounding. This finish began there. Yes, I'll do that. Gladly. See, I want you to capture this morning the awe of this finished. Begin all the way there. We have any questions about that mind of God. Let's leave those today. It will never be answered. But what we do know, He asks us to believe and also to rejoice in it. I will give this unspeakable gift, and Father, I indeed will do it. And now Jesus has come to the very end and He says, finished. I'm sure He said it like that. Finished! Well, I would have said, if you've done such a great thing, finished. Oh, I cannot say how He said it. I take back my words already. The depth and the height and the volume and the content of that finished, friends. Who of us can even begin to capture that? But for Jesus, this was an unbelievable full stop, finished. What He promised to do, He finished. Even though He struggled at the very end to get to that last full stop, remember? Oh, Father, if it be possible. Oh, when He finally had to face the last part of what He agreed to. Right? When He finally had to face that, oh, He cringed within when He saw that cross ahead of Him. And that hours when His Father turned away His face, cringed within. And now finished. Come, friends. Let's for a moment take our hearts up at this moment. Because we're here to worship. Not just to hear stories. We're here to praise God. For His awesome. And undefinable love. Finished. Secondly, the spiritual battle is finished with Satan. This is the moment, friends, that God promised there in the very moment of paradise fall, I will put enmity. And that when God declared to battle against Satan on this earth. And you remember that time of that battle began then and it is here finished. Satan has been fighting Jesus. He has been tempting Jesus. He has been bruising Jesus. He's been doing all that ever since the very beginning of this world. He has been constantly struggling against this kingdom of God. And finally he has the king. But here Jesus gives him a death blow. Rejoice. We can look at Satan today and we can say, Satan, you lost it!
finished. The battle is fought, and at this moment Satan crashes down, friends. In Revelation 12, verse 9, we hear upon Jesus' exaltation cast out. No more here. And all we are experiencing in the last 2,000 years are the death throes of Satan. Yeah, they're terrible, and they will be terrible yet to come. But let's not forget. Finished! Whenever we are looking at this terrible thing of this Satan stirring up and leading people and doing all that, he has destroyed the devil on this last battle. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 tells us that, and I'll read it to you. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, this finished also means, of course, that all his sufferings are over. Finished. The journey that Jesus had to suffer, we well often trace it throughout the journey of his life. Not only at Lord's Supper times are we to think about Jesus' suffering. You have to think about him every day. As we have to suffer and we're called to deny ourselves and take up our crosses and whatever it may be, there's only one way to do that. There's only one way to do that. It's only by considering the cross of Christ and everything that lays before him. That's the only way you can live in a victorious way, is by faith in the cross of Jesus. For Paul says indeed that he will refuse to glory in anything else but Jesus' cross. Finished. Well, it must have been a joy for Jesus to say finished, and to bow his head and to hand over his soul to his Father, never again to suffer anymore. Finished. And yes, he struggled with suffering. We know that in Gethsemane, particularly. Finished. Now the third thing that Jesus finished, he finished fulfilling all the prophecies. Did you know there were 28 prophecies fulfilled on the cross? Now those of you who know math, you go figure out today, what is the chance that 28 prophecies will be fulfilled in one moment? And if you can't figure out, you go ask Mr. P or Mrs. Scott when you come back from holiday what that number looks like. 28 individual prophecies fulfilled on the cross. Finished. You can trust God. You can trust him to do things well. What he has spoken indeed in the scriptures and prophetically, hundreds and hundreds of years ahead of this moment, have become true fully. Oh, that is an encouragement, because that also means that the word finished is trustworthy. If all the things he spoke before the cross have become fulfilled, my friend, I have no doubt to believe this word is true. Finished. And so God wants his children to feel this morning the full comfort of this word finished, indeed. And that, yet, fourthly, and really ultimately, that is the biggest beauty of the word finished. Mostly this word finished has reference to his people's needs. Jesus finished paying the bill. Every sin that I do, every sin that you do, children, think about it. Every time I lie, every time I'm unkind, every time I'm unselfish, every time I choose to disobey, that's one sin, that's one ticket, and that ticket says death. Imagine going to Masterton and getting 10 tickets from here to Masterton.
Well, that's what we're getting from God's side. Every time we sin, gives another ticket. You think of the pile of them? We all have to pay for that. And on the cross, God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, every ticket in His hand that He saw belonged to His chosen people. All those tickets of God's church were laid in Jesus' hands. Now that's a staggering stack. You see Him hanging there? Paul writes in the Colossian letter that all the debt notices, I owe you debt, were nailed on the cross with Jesus. And you see Him there hanging this morning, children of God. See that? Finished. All paid. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. When Jesus left heaven, He came to a cursed earth. And He lived there for all those years outside of paradise. Yeah? That's a cursed place, this place. This is no more paradise. This is another P. This is prison's court. That's where Jesus lived. Prison's court. And finally, when Jesus is on the cross, His Father puts Him in solitary confinement. That's called hell. There hangs the Savior. Come, let's adore Him this morning. And finally, when Jesus puts His full stop at the end of this journey, finished, He is assuring here this morning that as the Lamb of God, He has made the great sacrifice for the world. I have paid every single ticket my Father has given me. Didn't He say it? I have not come here to have a good time. I don't have come here to have you minister to me. I have not come here to have you fall down before me. I have come here to fall down for you and to give my life a ransom for many. And so He has here died for all His church, hasn't He? Is here finished the work His Father gave Him from the very foundation of the world. Here, my son, this is the bride I have chosen. Will you go into that cursed place and will you die for her there? Yes, Father, I will. And now he can smile at his father and he says, finished! And what Jesus there spoke to his father, He wants to sing into your heart this morning. Children of God. He spoke this finished to His Father, but He wants us to hear it also. And that's my second question. Why do you think Jesus didn't just say it in His mind? Finished, Father. So He, and only His Father heard it. No, He didn't want to do that. Because He preaches the gospel as He dies. Finished to all those that hear. And today, we get to hear it even though we were not there. Let's consider that after we sing together. 189. We'll sing all stanzas. Make haste, O God, to save, to help me, Lord, make haste. And what follows in 189, all four stanzas. finished, friends. Finished is a gospel preaching this morning also. Jesus spoke it to his Father, but he also spoke it this morning in the hearing of your ear. Finished. And why does he say that so loud and so clear? Well, for two or three reasons. First, that we would encourage to come to him with all our unfinished business. With all our sin issues, we can't finish cleaning up. With all our guilt issues, we can't finish covering. Finished is inviting. Finished means there is someone who has the ability to finish something I can't finish. As Jesus hangs on the cross, he hangs before a holy God. He hangs before a just God. He's answering those two attributes of God who demands the punishment and the rejection of a sinner. And no matter if his name is Son, and no matter if his name is only Son, and no matter if his name is only begotten Son, you are found with sin, you're finished also. Out. Finished. However, Jesus finished proclaims the message of hope. We all got unfinished business here. And particularly those of you who have not come to Christ. We got heaps of unfinished. Look at all the tickets on your name today. Oh God, open eyes. Look at the tickets you have. The sin issues you have to pay for. The justice of God and the holiness of God you stand exposed to. Every idle word. Every idle thought. He's not going to just say, oh, forget about it. If God would have done that, he would have never let Jesus suffer like that. Come on. But no, he spared him not till the last strike. Till he is gone. So don't vainly think, oh, God will have all right with me. No, if you are found in that moment as you stand before this holy throne of God with any ticket left, even one, you will be forsaken as he is. Friends, come on, wake up about that. Kids, listen up. I'm no policeman, but God is. And God is also speaking to you kids this morning. You got sin. You got wrongdoing. You have been naughty boy. You have been disrespectful. You have disobeyed your father and your mother. You've been nasty to your brother and your sister. I'm really not happy about that. No, I'm angry about that. You have sin on your leg. And all that needs to be taken care of before that I finish my journey. And when I come to the full stop of my journey here on earth and I got any ticket left in my hand, then it is too late. And now Jesus says, finish. Now why does he say that? He wants to tell you something. Come unto me, all you people who cannot finish paying, satisfying, answering what God is requiring from you. Come now. Finish. I'm finished. My work is sufficient. Enough. What I've done is perfect. Finish. You're troubled with your sin this morning? You're bothered by the fact that you feel separated from God? surveying on your heart that you see that you are not good enough, not do good enough, and you're not I good enough, that everything is wrong and crooked and selfish and sinful. Is it bother you? Good. Glad to hear that. Come unto me now, Jesus says. And let me take care of that. My finished work is able to finish it all for you. My finished payment is able to finish yours. My finished is able to put a full stop behind all your problems. Finished. Father is very pleased with Jesus finished. So pleased that the moment Jesus dies, Father says, okay, that's enough. Pull the whole curtain to bits in the temple. Immediately. What is he saying to that? He's saying, you're right, son, it's finished. I accept it. 3 days later, he sends his angel down. He says, roll that stone away and open that prison for that Jesus of mine. It's finished. 40 days after his resurrection, angels get ready. He's coming home. And the angels get ready. Lift up your gates. The King of Glory. And Jesus gets to hear. Oh, sit on my right hand, my son. You are now the King of Glory. Finished, all right? And now let us not dishonor God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. For we dishonor all three, friends, if we think that I need something more than Jesus Christ for forgiveness at the judgment seat. It is rightly said in our confession. Did you notice that? That is the grossest blasphemy we could ever bring on God's name. To come before God with something besides Jesus finished. That's blasphemy. And all the world blasphemes God's one way. But religious people do it in a more offensive way. When they come to Christ, right, to God's throne, thinking, okay, Lord, look upon me. I'm a good man and I'm trying my best, Lord. And yes, I also trust in Jesus. My friend, if you do that, we're offending God. Because you are not a good man in His sight. And you're not doing good in His sight. And your sight is not enough. His sight is the end of the story. And therefore, when we come thinking anything of ourselves, we are offending Him, as if that cross of Jesus and that finish of Jesus was not enough. Come then, He says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened. I finished it. Do you have sins? Of course you got sins. But I mean, are those staring in your face? Secret sins. You've done everything else to polish them away, cover them over, shine them up. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. No, Jesus says, look, my blood is able to wipe that away. And you'll be as white as snow. My blood. Come. Come get it. Come get it. Come to me. My blood I offered and finished offering on the cross. That is able to cleanse. It's an open fountain. It's not hidden. It's open. Open to anyone, any man that is thirsty out there. Come now and drink it. No, stop reasoning. Or yeah, reason then. Reason. Let's reason together. If your sins are as dark and as black and as scarlet and whatever you name it, come to me. My blood is finished. Satisfied all God's attributes. And that alone can do it for you. Do you come short in anything? You can't live up to what you need to live up to. You can't be giving the love you need to give. You can't be holy as you need to be holy. And you can't do all that. Now look, finished. Look, my last stitch. The coat is finished. I wove the whole thing for you. From the very first thread to the last one. Here it is. Come. I counsel you to buy of me garments, my righteousness. Finished. See, sinner, you don't need anything to bring. You need to first receive. And I pray the Holy Spirit is kindling faith in your heart this morning that you may embrace Christ, that you may put Him on, that you may dip yourself in the blood, as it were, to be washed. You deserve hell, you say. Yes, you do. You deserve it over and over and over. Yeah, if you knew what I've done. No, I don't know, need to know what you've done. I know what I've done, and I know what everybody else does. And we all deserve hell. But listen again. Finished. Where is he coming from? Out of the descending into hell, he's coming up again. Finished. See? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. You deserve to go there, yes. That's what he has done for deserving sinners. And now undeservedly he offers the grace and says, I invite you to shelter in me. I invite you to take your refuge in me. I invite you to put your trust in me. Well, what about all my shortcomings then? And what about all my constant failings? And what about all my spots and my stains I see every day? Good. Keep yourself humble about that. Keep looking at those who think I'm a nobody and a nothing, and I deserve nothing and nothing and nothing and nothing except to be cast out. Let's keep our eyes on that, but only once. And then 1,000 times let's look to Christ. So we make that agreement? 1 time look at your sin and 1,000 times to Jesus. Finished. And go back to those sins and keep them in mind. And keep in mind where you were, and keep in mind what you were doing, and keep in mind what your life was like, and keep in mind what you did. Keep you humble. Right. Let's keep our minds on that to keep ourselves humble. And to get a new and a fresh understanding every day. Lord, but God, who is rich in mercy, saved me. That's the way to live. Not to keep your eyes 1,000 times on these black old sins that keep on popping up. No. To keep our eyes and our heart wrapped up in this finished. Fellow sinners, let us please the Father this morning by honoring Him for His given Son. I was reading from John Flavel this week. He says, one act of faith upon Jesus as your righteousness and salvation. Let me slow down. One act of faith upon Jesus Christ as your righteousness and your salvation. And your faith may be a hoping, a looking, a longing, a hungering, a thirsting. Yeah, that's all faith already. One act of such faith pleases God the Father more than if you should toil day and night at being holy and obedient and good. That's music in my ears. Isn't it to yours? One look at Christ, in which I say, O Father, thank you for that Son. In which I say, O Son, my hope alone is upon the work you did on the cross and the life you lived before. And my hope is alone in what you're doing at the moment on the right hand of the Father is more pleasing to God than me working hard to be holy. Now, got to be holy, but never get there. Not just music. Live out of that finished. Come, fellow sinners. Nothing in your hand you need to bring. But that's not completely true. When you come with nothing in your hand, you come with dirty hands. You come with Christ in your hand. And if you come to Christ, if you come with Christ in your hand before God's throne, you will hear something. You'll hear, finished. Finished. Go in peace. It's finished. All those sins that you can pay for and all that guilt that lays on your heart. Oh, when you see John Bunyan looking at that cross, you remember? He could have cried it, finished! And there went the burden off his back. Finished. Now, he had to be back at that cross every day. If a little extra burdens that he begins too big, build up again. Yep, every day. Now, the second I want to bring to your attention yet before we finish is this finish is to assure God's children here that He will finish the work He has begun in you. He on the cross, Christ finished His work for us. I've laid down my life for you. He's finished the work of meriting. He's finished the work of paying, but He hasn't finished the work of applying. He hasn't finished yet. Building out His salvation in the lives of men and women, boys and girls. Do not think that He said, finished, I've done my part, the rest is yours. That's not what this finished means. All this finished means I've done one part of my work now, my earthly part, my work of humbling myself, but now I'm going to go and start the other part of my work. And that is to make sure that what I did on the cross is not going to get to waste. I make sure that everyone whose name was written on my hand at that moment, I was nailed to that cross, and every name that was written on that breastplate is going to come with me into my kingdom. That's what He's doing today. That's what He's doing today. He's reaching down from heaven by the Spirit and the Word of God to work in sinners' hearts. Praise the Lord. He is saving by creating faith so that such hearts will reach out to Him and embrace His message and His work for them. And this finished work on the cross is the guarantee for finishing the work in us. And what is that living work of Christ in us? Oh, that comes out in the sorrow, a godly sorrow. That comes out in a heart that begins to hate the sin and love the holiness. That comes out in the heart that hungers after righteousness and it cannot be satisfied with their own doings anymore. That comes out in a heart that wants to live for Him and turn away from sin. See, that's all working in us. That's not from you. That's fruit of the exalted Savior who by His Holy Spirit works in repenting and at trusting and obeying in us. So in that sense, His finish here is the guarantee that He will finish what He has begun in us. You see, that's what the Apostle Paul so beautifully brings out in Philippians 4:1, verse wherever it is now. I am confident, he says, that He will finish the work that He has begun for you. Well, the verse escapes me, but I said the words already. He will finish what He has begun. And what's the guarantee of that? Not, oh, I'll hang on to that. Oh, I better do my best. Oh, I better, do this. No, no. The guarantee is this finished on the cross. Because that's finished, the other part will be finished also. So be comforted this morning. Jesus doesn't do half work. Children of the Lord, He does it all. You may fall, you may fail, you may falter, you may stumble, but He never did. And He never does. And so let us remind ourselves this morning of the great love that Jesus showed that also calls for a great work. Paul writes, "You're bought of a great price." And let's think today about that great price. That's what this day is for. Think about that great price He laid down. Think of a little boy, children. He made a nice little wooden boat. It took him a long time to make it. Obviously, he finally finished. He went out to the river and lets it go in the river. He has on a string. All of a sudden, the string breaks. The strong current takes the boat along. And oh, there he sees the boat go. And he can't reach it anymore. He felt pretty sad about that. A couple of weeks later, he walks in town. And he sees in the second-hand shop in town, his boat. Kind of broken, kind of beat it up. That's his boat. He knows it's his boat. He can recognize it still. And he walks into the store and says, "Hey, May, this is my boat. I want to take it home." Shopkeeper says, "Oh, wait a moment, I don't know if that was your boat. This is my boat. Now I got it and I bought it and I want to sell it." "So the only way you can have that boat, boy, if you buy it for a dollar." He says, "Okay, hold on to it. I'll be back." So he goes work. He goes work until he has a dollar. And finally, kids, he walked back in the storekeeper's shop and says, "Got my dollar. Can I have my boat back?" And as he walks out of the store, you know what he said? "You are now twice mine. I first made you, and now I bought you. Hey, child of God, that's you. He first made you. Finished. Now He bought you." So let us leave today with those words on the outline. I'm going to read it together with you from Joseph Hart. "We wonder that the works of God displayed through all the world abroad, immensely great, minutely small, yet one great work exceeds them all. Almighty God breatheth human breath. The Lord of life experienced death, suffering the pains of hell for those who should have perished as His foes. The highest heavens fall short of this. 'Tis deeper than the vast abyss. 'Tis more than thought could ever conceive or hope, expect or flesh believe. Blessed with this knowledge, let us raise our hearts in love, our voice in praise. Now we believe. But soon we shall know the greatest glories God can show." Amen. Let us worship God. O faithful God and Spirit, tune our hearts today to sing Thy praises, to rejoice in Thy finished, to come before Thee with the Lamb of God as our only hope, our only ground. Bless us, O God, today to see that greatness of Thy greatness, to see the beauty of that beauty of the love of God that so loved to give His only Son. Enable Thy church here to read their title to heaven in this finished, but also to be assured that thou wilt make them fit for heaven. On basis of this finished also. Lord, we praise thee and plead with thee that today may become a saving day for those in our midst who have unfinished, written all over their lives. Lead them to the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen.